Almighty Father, we humble ourselves in your presence this morning, and we thank you for the privilege of assembling together in the name of Jesus Christ. We look to you, Father, to guide us in the Word on this day. We appreciate the opportunity this morning to receive a report and to be encouraged by the ministry of your Word. And we thank you for the encouragement, Father, that your Word is going forth in various cities and states and countries around the world. We're so trapped by our tunnel vision, Father, sometimes thinking that right here where we are is the only place where the Word's going forth. I thank you that there are faithful men that are serving. I thank you for Good Seed International. We look forward to the report this morning, and we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. About 2 months ago, what is this, June? Okay, so in March, 3 months ago, we attended a conference in Houston, the Schaefer Theological Seminary Conference. Some of you even went down there to participate in that. And one of the speakers at the Schaefer Conference was a man named John Cross, who introduced us to Good Seed International. It was the first time I'd ever been exposed to Good Seed. And as first impressions go, I don't think he could have made a better one. It would boggle my mind to think of any conceivable way where that first impression could have been better than it was. The material was sound. It was a grace gospel. There was no amount of lordship in it anywhere. There was no works in it anywhere. It was grace all the way, and I was very impressed. The materials they sent us home with, printed materials, DVDs, everything was just so sound. It was a tremendous blessing. And then I get back here to Austin, and wouldn't you know it, within about a month or so, I'm speaking to Pastor Jeremy Thomas at Fredericksburg Bible Church, and he says, "You know something? My brother Joe is preparing to be a missionary. He's going to be working with Good Seed International." And I said, "Well, this is just too coincidental for a guy who doesn't believe in coincidence." What an opportunity. So we're very thankful that Joe made the drive down here, and his lovely wife Suzanne, their son Evan. We could actually have two Evans. We could have Evan and Evan back there in the nursery that are pretty close, about 15 months and 20 months, I'm guessing. 21 months for Evan. I was close. All right. Well, they'll have a good time back there then. Anyway, with no further introduction, Joe, would you please come forward and bring us our message? Deliver your report. I'm going to help you get the projector up and running as well.
Appreciate it. I think I need to wake my computer up. Sunday morning, he likes to sleep in. Well, some time here. Now, this happened to Suzanne the other day, and I said, "All you have to do is just kind of move the mouse around a little bit," and here I am doing it. Same response as she got. Anyone?
Yeah.
I was about to say, anyone know anything else? Something I don't? May I just restart it, do a hard shutdown here? Well, I think I already did the shutdown there, so.
Okay.
Well, it should start back up here, but I'll go ahead and get started. I'm not too surprised that John Cross made a good impression on Bob and the other people there at the conference. The first time I met John Cross, he made a very good impression. Whoops. He made a very good impression on me as well. And the Ministry of Good Seed made a very good impression on me. And, you know, obviously it did, because now we're... Is that me doing that? Or I guess it is. I don't know what I'm doing, but... Okay, well, we'll be okay. We'll just ignore it if it happens again. But obviously I was impressed with the Ministry of Good Seed and what they're doing, because we are preparing to go into the mission field with Good Seed now. And we really believe in that ministry. And I'll be telling you a little bit more about that as we go on in the presentation this morning. All right. Let's try that. All right. Can you hear me now? Yes, it's on. Okay. There we go. And I'll be telling you a little bit more about Good Seed. First, I want to introduce you to my family that I brought here. Very glad to have them here with me. Of course, Evan is in the nursery being cared for by someone in there, and we do thank you all for giving us that blessing this morning to have him in there. My wife is here with us. If you look back to about the middle, and I guess is that stage right? I don't know how that goes. I'm not a thespian or an actor of any sort, but let me go ahead and get this started here. That's my wife Suzanne, and let's do it this way. We made it down here. We're very excited to be here in Austin. For a couple of reasons, it's great to be in Austin. We actually for the last 10 or 11 years have lived in Lubbock, Texas. And if you've ever been to Lubbock, anybody ever been to Lubbock? Okay, quite a few of you have been to Lubbock. Was that on your own accord, or did you go under, you know, force, or what was it? No, there's. I'm just kidding. There's nothing wrong with Lubbock. We've been there for 11 years, like I said, and so there are some great things about it. But the reason it's great to come to Austin is because you have hills. That's one of the things. Secondly, you have trees. You know, oh, well, there's a third thing I just thought of. You have some rain, too. And we got some of that a couple of nights ago, and maybe a little last night, I'm not sure. But so it's great to come and see some trees, some hills, and use a little more gas in our car than maybe we normally would on a trip, going up those hills and things. But sorry about this. Technical difficulties seem to happen. They only happen at the most inopportune times. Isn't that right? Okay. And so I'll introduce you here to Suzanne. This is my wife. Wonderful wife. We've been married for 5 years. And it's been such a... Well, 5 and a half now. Better get it right. I see some nods from the gentleman here. It's been a joy to be her husband. She is such a great helper and such a great mother as well. As you can see here, our son, Evan, he looks up to her very much in more ways than one. As you can see here, he's looking up to her. And I look up to her, too. She's a very respectable and very godly woman. Here's me. I won't waste your time with this. You'll be looking at my ugly face for 45 minutes or so more. So, and this is Evan. And he's 15 months old, as Pastor Bob said, and just a joy in our lives. And he's added just a new dimension to our lives. And you all know that if you've got children or children in your family. Well, I just want to take a moment just to stop and pray real quick. So if you'll bow your heads with me. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this time that we have. Thank you that we are able to share our ministry with Austin Bible Church. And I thank you for this body here who is a light to this area of the state and a light to the world. And we just thank you for your grace and mercy that you've given each and every one of us. That you've revealed yourself to us through your word and through the Lord Jesus Christ so that we might know you. If we only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. And we thank you for that great salvation that you've given us, the great work that Christ did on the cross and in his resurrection. And we have life in him anew. And I thank you for this time and pray that we would all be edified and ultimately that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified and honored and uplifted this morning in our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I want to go ahead and thank Pastor Bob and the deacons and whoever else was involved in just allowing us to come and share with you this morning. And without further ado, I'll get started. So this is kind of our prayer card, actually. We've got some prayer cards over here. There's a table, if you look over to your right, that I've got some things set up on. And you can grab one of those prayer cards. Feel free to take that. And we would really appreciate your prayers. First of all, Good Seed, I'll give you a kind of an idea of where Good Seed is and where we will be going. Olds, Alberta, Canada. Anyone know who, where Alberta is? Okay, we've got one hand over here. You even know where Olds is? Well, that's good. Well, I heard one guy told me one time, he said, when I asked him about where Alberta is, he said, oh, it's the second one from the left. So if you don't think in those terms, you know, I'll go ahead and give you a map here. We live in Lubbock, Texas. And if you didn't know where that was, there it is. Austin is where the T in Texas is. So we're about a little over 400 miles away. And we'll be moving about 2,000 miles northwest of Lubbock to Olds, Alberta, Canada. And that's where their base of operations is. And we will be working in the office there, or I will be working in the office. And we'll be traveling around and doing some teaching as well. Well, Good Seed's purpose. What is Good Seed? Why is Good Seed there? There are lots of missions organizations. But why Good Seed? And what does Good Seed do? Well, we believe that it is our responsibility as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be crystal clear on the Bible's primary message, which is the gospel, and then pass it on in a way that makes sense. We do that in two ways. We create tools, one way. And I've got some tools over here on the table, and I'll tell you a little bit about those in a little bit. But we create tools, and we also teach people how to use those tools. So those are the two things, or two main areas that we work in. And when I say we teach people how to use those tools, we have seminars here in North America, and we have some overseas that we do each year where we train lay people. I mean, really anybody can sign up for them and come to them. Lay people, pastors, Bible college students, and a lot of times it'll actually be in a Bible college where we'll be teaching, and those people will go out and teach as they're taught in these seminars. Give you a little bit more about my background. I was born. Okay, that's a good start, right? Okay, and here we are in 2006. Okay, we've got a little bit in between. I grew up in a Christian home. My family, my parents were Christians and taught the word in the home. And we were at church every Sunday. Every time the doors were open, really, we were there, really involved in our church. And, you know, I learned all the Bible stories as a child, as we all do if we grew up in church and Sunday school and from my parents. Had all the Bible stories down. Well, in 1987, I became a believer. I placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and as my Savior, and that was the greatest day of my life, and will always continue to be the greatest day of my life, no matter what happens. After that, I was really involved in my youth group at my church and everything, and, you know, maybe I learned a thing here or two, I'm not sure, but anyway, moving on from there, I went to college at Texas Tech University there in Lubbock, and while I was there, Suzanne and I both, actually, that's where we met. We were involved in a campus ministry there. I learned to share my faith, and I grew a lot in the Word and in my knowledge and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a great environment to be in. And then after that, graduated, and since then I've taken some seminary courses and been working in the secular workforce, waiting for God to prepare me and to give us an opportunity to do what I really want to do, which is go into the mission field with Good Seed. And so, but going back to college, like I said, I learned to share my faith there and actually had a lot of experience doing it. It was a great experience, and I'm just going to tell you about one time when we were sharing with a guy named Jeremy. What we would do is we would go to the dorms, and we would go to a dorm room and knock on the door, and, you know, he opened the door, right, and met him. Hey, you know, I'm Joe. I'm Jeremy. You know, who are you? He's wondering, who are you? So we tell him who we are. You know, we are students, but we're kind of working alongside this campus ministry, and we just want to share a few things with you. And so we'd walk in and kind of have a little conversation, and then we would turn the conversation to these spiritual things. Well, then we'd share with him these four points, and it's what we call the gospel. Number one, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Number two, man is sinful and he's separated from God. So even though he loves you and he has this wonderful plan for you, man is sinful and he's separated from God. And then number three, Jesus Christ. This is the good news. Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. And number four, we must receive Jesus Christ, or Jesus as Savior and Lord, so we can know and experience God's love and plan for our lives. Now, this is what I was how I was taught to share the gospel. And this is what I did a lot of the time while I was in college. Well, nothing wrong with this necessarily. And I'm glad we were going to share. And, you know, after we shared this, you know, I was ready to start patting myself on the back. You know, I did a good job. We presented this very clearly to him, you know, and we would ask him questions throughout and make sure he was following along. And you know, he seemed to be following along. So we thought, you know, we saved this guy. You know, we got him. Got him in the bag, right? Well, you know, I was shocked and dismayed when he responded at the end, when we kind of said, you know, so what do you think about this? You know, what do you think about what we've brought to you, what we've shared with you? And his response was, oh, sure, I'll think about it. That's not really the response I was looking for. I was thinking his response was going to be, well, I've just been waiting for someone to tell me the answer, the solution to my problem. Thank you so much. You know, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. But that wasn't his response. Sure, I'll think about it. And it was kind of that, sure, I'll think about it, that was kind of like, you know, I've got class in 30 minutes, and it's good that that works for you, but, you know, I've got to get my stuff together and go. And so he responded with this apathy. So, you know, I began to notice more and more when we would share with people in that same way in the dorms, that we'd get the same response, this apathetic response. I began to struggle with this. Why? You know, why are people just apathetic to the gospel? Isn't the gospel supposed to be powerful? Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So if I'm sharing the gospel with someone, and yet it seems to have no power at all, what's the problem? Is the problem God? Is he the problem? Is this verse not true? Should we throw it out of our Bible? Should we tear that page out? Or is there some other problem? Well, we know that from verse 19 that man is suppressing the truth that there is a God. He's suppressing that. And so he really doesn't believe it. I mean, but he knows it deep down. But the gospel is supposed to be powerful. So what's the problem? Well, as you see here, the word power is the Greek word dunamis. And dunamis is the word that we get the word dynamite from. And as you all know, dynamite is very powerful. And I'll give you a quick picture there. Dynamite is very powerful. If you come in contact with dynamite that explodes, you're transformed. There's no way around it. You're going to be transformed, or misformed, or I don't know how you'd say that. But it's going to make an impact on you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to even say it that way. But it's the same thing. This is that word, power. The gospel is supposed to transform people. It's very powerful. But why wasn't it? Well, let's look at this word and how it's translated elsewhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 11. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to him, or to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it seems as though the word meaning here, the word meaning is the word dunamis, same word. And it seems as though there's a linkage between the power and the meaning. So the power, it seems, is derivative of the meaning that comes across. So it's not just me sharing these words with someone that's going to do some great power in their lives. But if they understand it, if the meaning comes across, then at that point, it is powerful. Well, so I began to struggle with this. But we know that our job description as believers, Christ has given us a commission, right? Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, our job titles are, is ambassador. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. What is an ambassador? Well, we need to know, because that's who we are. We should know what we are. An ambassador, according to the dictionary, is an authorized messenger or representative. Simply put, I'm a messenger. That's what I am. I'm a messenger. Okay? A messenger for whom? Christ. I'll give you an example of why it's very important to have, to present a clear message if you're an ambassador. And this is just an example from history. Anyone heard of Waterloo? The one here or the one over there? Because we just actually found out yesterday, we didn't even know. We went, took a tour of the Capitol, found out that this area was once called Waterloo. And it was renamed Austin after Stephen F. Austin. And I think I got the story right. I was trying to hear the tour guide, and it was kind of difficult to hear. But I think she said, and someone here may be able to verify this for me, that it was Mario B. Lemieux who actually named it Lamar. Okay, I was thinking French, a French guy? But, okay, Mario B. Lamar, okay, who actually kind of designated the name Austin after Stephen F. Austin for this area. He didn't want to leave it Waterloo because you know what his middle name is? The B? Bonaparte. You know, that wouldn't have gone over very well, I don't think. And so, but anyway, that's an aside. This is the other Waterloo, the one that actually had to do with Napoleon Bonaparte. And this is just an example from history of how a misunderstanding can have great implications. The Battle of Waterloo was one of the greatest in all history. Lord Wellington squared off with Napoleon for control of all Europe. After the battle, Wellington sent a message by using flags across the English Channel to an anxious country. The flag said, "Wellington defeated," and then the fog set in. For 24 hours, England was in deep despair. Can you imagine? Napoleon, he's defeated Wellington. He's going to take over our country. That's a huge deal. Imagine if someone was taking over the United States. So Wellington defeated was the message. Then the fog lifted and the rest of the flags could be seen. Now the message read, "Wellington defeated the enemy." And a nation celebrated. So you can see how a misunderstood message can have great implications. Well, as messengers, we have a goal. Our message, every message has a goal. We want to get something across to someone. Well, our goal is found in John 1:12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Children of God. That's what we want people to become. That's our goal for this person that we're speaking with, or these people who we're speaking with and sharing the gospel with. We want them to become children of God. We want them to know the blessings that we have, the eternal blessings that we have especially. Well, in order for them to become children of God, they have to believe in his name. What does that mean? Believe in his name? I mean, all I have to do is just believe in the name Jesus Christ, like the words that a guy had that name? Or what is it? What's in a name? What does it mean to believe in his name? Well, let's look at this real quick. I could show you my business card. This isn't really it. I just made it up. But if I were to have a business card, this may be what it looks like. My name here, Joe Thomas, who I work for, Good Seed International. My title, it could be missionary or whatever. But this kind of gives you a clue as to who I am, right? So after you saw this, you would know me, right? Would you know me? You don't know me, do you? You know a little bit about me. You kind of know my identity, you know, who I claim to be. But you don't know me. But you have one piece of the puzzle. You have my identity. But there's more to a name than just an identity. There's more to it than just an identity. There's a history. There's a reputation. Take your last name, for example, especially if you have children. Think about this. Is it important that your last name have a good reputation? when your children go off somewhere without you, or even with you, you know, you tell them, you be good, Johnny, because what you do reflects on your family name. It's important. There's a history, a reputation to your name, even your first name. Well, let me just give you an example here of... Sorry, I'm kind of lost in my notes here. Let me just show you how this works. I'll put a person's name up here, and you'll see how quickly you respond to that name. You'll see how quickly you'll know this person's identity and also their history, their reputation. Let me just pop this name up here. I'm going to watch your faces and kind of see your response here. Let's see how quickly this works. Yeah, I saw it in your faces. You know, oh, yeah. You know who that is? Adolf Hitler, huh? How many of you thought of a World War II Nazi dictator when I put that name up? Only three, four. Well, you all knew who he was. Is he a good man or a bad man? Bad man. Did a lot of bad things. Let's try another one. Know who that is? Winston Churchill, World War II again, British statesman, you know, was a big reason why Adolf Hitler didn't win the war, right? Good man. You know his history, you know his identity. Let's try another one here. Oh, Osama bin Laden, you know who he is? A little more recent. Good man or bad man? Bad man. That's right, he's a terrorist leader. Okay, let's try one more here. Tony Rapalje. Uh-oh, we've got a problem. Nobody knows Tony Rapalje? Anyone know Tony Rapalje here? Suzanne? Suzanne knows Tony Rapalje. Anyone else know Tony Rapalje? Let me give you a little help here. Anybody know him now? Never seen him? Really?
Mafia hitman.
There you go, mafia hitman. Nobody knows who he is. What's wrong with these people, Suzanne? They don't know Tony Rapalje. How could they not know Tony Rapalje? Who is he, Suzanne? Yeah. Yeah. This is Suzanne's dad. My father-in-law. Of course you don't know him. Of course you don't. So you know him, right? Now you know him. Or do you? No, you know his identity. Do what? You know who he is, you know his identity, but you don't know him. Yeah. You don't know his history, his reputation, if he's a good man or a bad man. Is he a good man or a bad man, Suzanne? Do what? He's not a good or bad, he's great. He is a good man. Yeah. Well, you know what? The faces that I saw on you when I put that name up there, just blank faces, you had no clue who he was. And you're probably trying to, who is that? I really should know who it is. But, you know, you shouldn't have. But, you know, a lot of people have that same response when they hear or see this next name. A lot of people have no clue. It's blank. Or worse. Worse than that, even. They answer those two questions wrong. They don't know his identity. And they don't know his history, his reputation. They may know what they've seen on TV or read in a book or in a movie or whatever the case may be, but they answer those questions wrong. That's the last thing we want. Well, I'm going to show you a DVD here, but first I wanted to just explain to you Good Seed. One of our main goal is to present a clear message to our audience, to whoever we're sharing with, to unbelievers especially. Want to present a very, very clear message of the gospel, because the clarity of the message determines how powerful the message is. If you don't understand what I'm saying, You're not going to, you know, that message that I'm giving you is not going to have any power in your life. Take this for example, and I think Pastor Bob and those of you who were down at the conference may have heard John Cross give this example, but he said that one time he was in Korea and they gave him a cell phone, the group that he was going there to be with. They gave him a cell phone and he was up in a hotel room and they said, you know, here's a cell phone if you need to call anybody or if we need to get a hold of you. So, you know, he woke up, I think it was the first morning he was there, woke up in his hotel room and took a shower. The phone rang, so he picked it up, you know. He said in his good Canadian English, which we could probably all understand, he said, "Hello? Let me try to do it. Hello? I don't know. I can't do it. I'll learn once I'm up there." But he said, "Hello," and on the other end of the line, the man started speaking, and he wasn't speaking English. He was speaking Korean, and, you know, John doesn't know Korean. He doesn't speak it or understand it, so, you know, he kind of stopped the guy and said, "Oh, wait. He said, "Do you speak English?" And from the other end of the line he heard, yes, no. And so he knew at that point that there was a problem. They weren't going to be able to communicate. And so John, you know, what he says in his story is, well, suppose that this guy on the other end of the line has a very important message to give him. Say this guy is telling him, "John, you need to get out of the hotel as quickly as possible. There is a bomb in the hotel, and it's going to go off in 5 minutes. You need to get out of there as quickly as possible. Don't do anything else. Don't grab your luggage or anything. Just go. Get out of there. Get as far away as possible." And John is sitting there going, well, if you get the gist of this, I just woke up and took a shower, getting dressed right now. I'm about to go down and get me some food to eat, you know, some breakfast. And I think I'll be ready. I'll be waiting in the lobby in about 45 minutes for you to pick me up. Now, John didn't get the power of the message. He didn't understand it. He didn't have the meaning. And so the message had no power over him. Had no power in his life at all. Well, we want to present a clear message. And maybe that's why when we shared with this guy, Jeremy, in the dorms and the other people who I shared with, and don't get me wrong, I've seen people come to faith in the Lord Jesus through that presentation of the gospel I showed you earlier. And so it's not a bad thing. But we want to make sure we're being very clear and they really understand our message. This video, you're going to see John on here, and we don't have audio, but there you may hear the audio out of my computer here. But there are some subtitles that you can read, and you'll see John on here, and then you'll see a young lady, and she's a representative of the Bible college that she comes from. The young lady is from India. This is a trip. This is a trip that Good Seed took this spring to India, India, Singapore, and South Korea. And you'll see this young lady on here. She's in India. There were four Bible colleges represented at this seminar, and this young lady is representing one of them. 10 of the students. And keep in mind, she is a fourth year Bible college student. She's about to graduate and go out into the field, and you'll notice what she says here. What time do I need to end, by the way? Oh, no video. Okay. Well, you can't see it. Okay. Let me go ahead and stop this. Well, I assume this is something to do with PowerPoint works, but something else doesn't. I'm not sure. But let me try something real quick. Okay, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. I'll just end a little early. Okay. All right. Computer seems to be not wanting to function properly this morning. I'm sorry about that. Or it may be the end user, huh? Okay, here we go. All right, I'll pass up that reminder. But let me just show you a couple of the tools that we create. And I've got some of these over here. And these are the tools that we use and we teach people to use as well at the seminars. And feel free to, you know, pick them up, look at them, you know, throw them around if you don't like them or whatever you want to do with them. But, no, I'll just show you a couple of them. One of them you'll see here is the Stranger on the Road to Emmaus, and I think, Pastor Bob, you've got this. We have this in a couple of different versions. There's an MP3 version if you wanted to listen to it, just the audio of it. We've got a DVD version that's really great, and then we've got the book version here, and there's a workbook that goes with it. So this is actually a tool that, you know, quick story, I sent this book along with the workbook to my aunt about a month ago. And about 5 days after I sent it, I heard from my mom. My aunt is my mom's sister. I heard from my mom, and she said, "You know that, you know, you sent your aunt that the book, The Stranger, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "You know what?" She said she called me and she said she had read it, and she said it was such an amazing book. She said her response after reading the book was, "How did I not know for so many years?" Now let me give you a little background. My aunt grew up in church. She grew up going to church. When she became an adult, she began to be just enamored with the Catholic Church. Really just the traditions and all that. Just the beauty of it all and the icons and all those things. She really just started to begin grasping on to the Catholic Church. Really got involved in it somewhat. And so I sent her this book. She asked for it because she said, "Oh, send me something good seed does, you know." So I went ahead and sent this to her, and by the grace of God, she finally understands the gospel after 59 years. 59 years. She grew up in a church, and the pastor she grew up under was really a great pastor. First 10 or 11 years of life, I was under that pastor, and really a great teacher and everything. And she just didn't understand the gospel. But she finally understood it after reading this. Now, the way that Good Seed, the way that these resources work, what Good Seed does, the approach that we take is we take what we call a creation to Christ approach. Okay? So it's a chronological approach. And what we do is, a lot of times we learn about God, about sin, about truths in the Scriptures by just looking up, you know, in a commentary or looking up in a book, you know, sin. You know, let me learn about sin or salvation. Let's learn about salvation. And you read through all those passages and things like that. Well, we know from the Word that the Old Testament, I mean, especially, if you look at the Old Testament, it's a lot of stories. A lot of stories, really up through Acts. It's one big story. And then you get to the epistles, and those are letters. So it's not like the other day I went to hear, you know, Paul's not saying that. So it's not necessarily stories. But the whole Bible is one big story. But it's not just a story, you know, like a fairy tale. It's his story, right? You can put those words together. It's history. It's true. And so what the resources do here, these tools do, is goes from creation to Christ, and the truths that we find in the Scriptures are rooted in stories. Now, anyone ever heard of postmodernism? Yeah, postmodernists, and we really live in a lot of people around us are postmodernists. What they believe is that language has no meaning at all. You can say something and they can't understand it because language has no meaning. There's really no meaning to it. I mean, you've got to really communicate with someone really, really hard in order for them to understand your message. You know, you may say one thing and they take it one way and you didn't mean that. You meant something else. Do you ever have that problem? I have that problem all the time. I say something and Suzanne thinks I said one thing and actually I meant another, and you know, then we're going, what are you doing? Why are you doing? Well, you said that. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. Well, I did, but that's not what I meant. You know, this is what I was saying. Well, yeah, but this is how I took it. You know, we can get into a lot of problems. Well, so they believe that meaning, our language has no meaning. Well, when we get to the truths of the Scriptures, that causes a big problem. Well, I don't understand what you're saying about this Jesus fellow, because I heard the other day, you know, millions of people say different things about this Jesus guy. I mean, what am I to believe? But if we root these truths in the stories that are given to us in the Scriptures, you can't redefine these truths because their definition is found in the stories. The story defines the word, or defines the meaning, gives the meaning to these truths. And so that's what we do. Like in creation, we don't say, okay, first of all, we're going to start out with God. Okay, let me tell you who God is. He's omniscient, omnipresent. He's eternal. He's all, you know, omnipotent. He's sovereign. He's righteous and just and loving and kind and merciful and gracious. And so you got it. And we don't start with those things. What we do is we start with creation and we say, in the beginning, God. Well, let's stop there. In the beginning, God. God doesn't have a beginning. Look at this. He's eternal. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's all powerful. Okay, and we begin to go through the story of creation, and we see God's attributes coming out. He's everywhere present. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. We begin to see these things coming out. And then we get to the fall. You know, now we see Him as a judge. He's just. You know, there's punishment. And yet, we also see, what does He do? He allows an animal to die to cover over the sinfulness of Adam and Eve. Okay? So we see that He's good. He's kind. He's loving. And He provides an atonement. We continue to go through the Scriptures. We bring these truths out through the Scriptures as we go through. And the listeners may have never heard the story of the Bible, or they may have the wrong impression of it. But as we go through, they begin really understanding what's going on. And by the time you get to the law, people are getting pretty antsy. Because at that point, they realize, you know, I've got a problem. I've got a sin problem, you know. And that sin problem is going to cause me to be separated from God eternally if I don't do something about it. But they know there's a solution. They're just waiting for it. So by the time they get to the law and you present that to them, they say, oh, I can't do that. I haven't even kept that up to now. You know, I lie every day or whatever. You know, I can't keep that. And if that's God's standard, I'm toast. So they're getting pretty antsy. What's the solution? And so we're able to move on to the cross and give them the solution that they need. So that's the stranger on the road to Emmaus. Here's another one. The audience for this one, the intended audience for this, all the prophets have spoken, is the Muslim. The people who are Muslims, the Islam culture. Prophets are a big thing to them. And what this does, it lifts Christ up above anyone else and makes it clear in their minds that He is much, much, much greater. And this God that is presented in the Bible is much, much greater than what they ever pictured Him to be. You know, so you begin on this same footing with them. God is great. But as you go through, they begin to see, well, I didn't know God was this great.
wow, this God is really great. But then the pieces start to fall together, you see? And then they see that Christ is the Messiah. It's very well done, and it's very effective with Muslims. We have tools in different languages and things like that for different countries. But we also create tools for different age groups. And this one is called The Lamb. I've got one over here. It's a beautiful book. And so well done. I encourage you to look at it. But this is done for children. But you know, a lot of adults have come to faith through this book. It's amazing. Give it to a child of someone who, you know, a child whose parents aren't believers. And you may see God work in their lives through it. Well, what will we do? What will Suzanne and I be doing? Well, God has gifted me in administration. And so my primary responsibility is when we get there to Canada will be to manage the office and to streamline some of the internal processes that make Good Seed work. You know, this is going to, Lord willing, this is going to open up opportunity and time for the other staff members to be using their gifts instead of wasting a lot of time that, you know, they're trying to figure out how to do one thing and it takes them a long time. Well, I'm going to streamline those processes for them so they'll be able to do those things much more quickly and be able to use the Lord's engiftments to them for the glory of God. That's one of the things I'll be doing. Second of all, evangelism. Suzanne and I will be doing evangelism in our own home, around in our community. We'll be using the Good Seed tools, actually, to be sharing the message of the Bible clearly with those around us, those in our neighborhood, and things like that. And we'll be doing that on a regular basis. Third of all, tool development and training. Training and teaching. We will be, as time permits for me, and once I get some things worked through in the office and get some things streamlined, I'll have much more of an opportunity to do this. And when I'm needed, I'll be going and teaching in these seminars, training other people how to use these tools and how to use them in their own homes. And also, we use over 70 visual aids. We're very big on visual aids. You may think, well, stories are for kids, and you know, we've already talked about that. And visual aids are for kids. But I tell you what, for those of us who learn visually, visual aids are very, very helpful. Even for those of us who really don't learn visually necessarily, they're very helpful. They give us a picture. I mean, picture the Passover. You know, we would have something, but you know, picture killing the lamb, you know, and putting the blood on the lintel and the doorposts. You know, on the Passover, the Spirit of God going over that home, okay, providing salvation to those who were obedient and had faith in the Lord Jesus, or in God and in His promises. And so we will be doing that in these seminars. And so that's kind of all I've got. We're going to pass on the DVD. Okay, let's go ahead and pass on the DVD. And I just want to, if you have any questions, I'll open it up for questions. But like I said, we're preparing to go into the field. We haven't gone yet. We haven't never even been to Canada. And so we don't know exactly where we're going. I mean, we know where we're going, but we don't know anything about it. We know its identity, but we don't know its history. Yeah, I'm just joking. But we're just preparing to go and trusting the Lord to provide for us to be able to go. So I'll just open it up for any questions you have. If you ask a question that's too hard, I'll give it over to Pastor Bob to answer that. Anybody have any questions for me? Yes. We do have one thing. To unbelievers. Well, you know, this book here. The Stranger on the Road to Emmaus, yes. That, really all of them, in a sense, can be handed out. And, you know, you could kind of look at it as a long gospel tract. Because really it is. You've seen it. And so it can be that. But no, we don't have small tracts. Now there is something you can take over here. I guess we call it our catalog, but it doesn't really have prices or order form in it. It's just basically a little thing that tells more about each one of the resources that we have and our approach and the reasoning behind it, the biblical reasoning behind that. And so you can pick one of those up over there if you like. Anyone else have a question? Yes.
Are they available in Spanish?
Yes. Spanish is one of the first languages that each of these are translated in. I think every one of these is in. I'm not sure about all the prophets have spoken, but the others are in Spanish. And actually, I've got a Spanish stranger over here, and I've got a Spanish lamb over here, if you'd like to look at them. And you can get these resources from goodseed.com, if you want to write that down, if you want to check into that. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you for your time.
Let's close with prayer. Almighty Father, we do thank you for this presentation this morning, and we do lift up Joe and Suzanne and Evan. We ask for your hand of blessing upon them. Father, in their time of preparation, pray that you would be preparing them spiritually, preparing them financially, preparing them in every way possible to be used by you. I thank you for their willingness. I thank you for their graciousness, for their flexibility, particularly Joe this morning, and handling every distraction, every difficulty here on our end, and very gracious and very godly. We appreciate that. Father, we ask that you would bring them to our attention from time to time as they are in need of prayer. Lay them on our heart. Motivate us to wrestle at the throne of grace on their behalf. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.